We're talking this week about daycare. We've talked about the emotional impact of daycare, the academic impact of daycare, the behavioral discipline impact of daycare versus mom. Who could do a better job than mom? Today we're going to talk about spiritual. No one will be a greater spiritual leader in the life of any child. No one will be a greater spiritual leader in the life of any child than their parents. We just have to choose to do it.
You're listening to Parenting Today with Dr. Bob Barnes from Sheridan House Family Ministries. I'm your host, Ruthie J. This whole week, we've been talking about daycare, specifically those years prior to kindergarten. And if you've missed all the broadcasts so far, or even the blogs that go along with this broadcast, you can find it online at parentingtoday.org. Mm. But yeah, spiritual development. I think we send our kids sometimes to the Christian daycares, but this whole idea of daycare really links with spiritual development a lot, because we think sometimes the church has to be the eternal daycare of our spiritual lives. And we send our youth to youth group and hope that the youth pastor knows all the issues that the kids are going through, because we want them to
fix. Spoken like a youth pastor who's been in it.
Yeah. Huh? Yes. And one who has, I've got some stepchildren who are already teenagers, and now I'm understanding, oh, this is what the parents were feeling like when they talked to me. So yeah, we kind of subcontract out our kids for so many things. And one of them is daycare, and in the area of spiritual development.
Yeah. We want to get them in the right one. And it's funny, when you choose a daycare, okay, should I choose a little more of a family environment daycare? Or when I choose a daycare, what should be the top thing? Should I choose one that's just high academic, or should I choose one that's high in the spiritual area? Mm-hmm. And first question, and we've had done this all week, you may not have an option and you have to choose daycare, yeah, some kind of child care situation. But certainly spiritual would be far and away the most significant for me. I have to believe that I want to send my child out more than anything else, knowing who God is, which is why we've got to get back and talk about who's going to do a better job than mom, and then mom or dad. And if we're rushing in all directions, we're going to miss it. We had family devotions at the breakfast table every day of our life. Actually, when they were little, when Tori's about 18 months, there's some discussion as to when we actually started, and people always want to know, and I don't know. I remember her waddling around the living room. We didn't do it at the table. And I remember Rosemary and I reading the Bible, and I know she didn't get anything out of it. And then when she got a little older, we would read from a child's devotional book. And then when they hit some age, we did it at the breakfast table every morning. And there were two mornings a week when I had to get out the door early to get off to men's Bible study, Tuesday morning and Thursday mornings. And she did it, and she read it with them. And my children never can remember a time when they didn't have devotions in the morning other than Saturday and Sundays. We were hit and miss on Saturday and Sundays. But no one's going to take that time. No one's going to explain that. No one's going to do that. And then find that teachable moment during the day. Do you remember what we read this morning? Mm-hmm. This is it, Tori.
Link it for them.
The way you're handling Roby, what you're doing, this is it. This is a great opportunity here. The spiritual development of the child. No one's going to do a better job than mom. When we get to heaven and get to see the IMAX in heaven and see what Moses' mom must have done with him before she let him go, must have somehow planted something so deep in the life of that child, so that when he went out, all of a sudden there were connects from his past where, oh, wow, I get it. And just this constant, this burden here is going to be a burden that no one gets to the point of a mom, and no one will pursue. But I agree with what you said in the opener. We really want to also subcontract out spiritual development and hope they get in the right church thing. Hope they're doing the right finger painting at church during church. Hope they're
fingerprinting too for
yes,
all the
yes, all
caretakers.
The, yes, all the other things there. And the teachable moments that, let's just face it, they don't have time to do. It's not their fault. Mm-hmm. They don't have time to. They could be the greatest on the planet. They don't have time to do it. And so this situation, and Rosemary grew up in a home where her parents were missionaries, and they did have, for lack of a better word, they had a nanny who was a godly Japanese woman who really slammed it home. And I got to tell you, there were some, when I listened to Rosemary talk about her childhood, instead of placing that child in daycare, they found somebody who needed to do whatever and brought that child into the home. And while Rosemary's mom helped Rosemary's dad do the ministry there in post-World War II Japan, and that godly Christian Japanese woman had an enormous impact on the raising of Rosemary. Mm-hmm. So sometimes you can get some help in the home along those lines. But the question everybody wants to know, well, what would be the number one thing you would look for? It would be Christian development. But don't ever, ever, ever think that you're going to replace the impact that mom could have in the Christian development. Now, if I'm listening to this, and I did say to Rosemary, when she said with our children, you know, we're going to need to do family devotions with the children, and I'm a relatively new Christian. I came to Christ before we got married, but I was pretty slow in the walk, to tell you the truth. And I said, what in the world is a family devotion? And she said, reading the Bible to the children. And I tried to abdicate. And I tried to say, I think with a lot of parents, male and female, Rosemary, I didn't grow up in that home. I mean, going to church with you was my first church experience. Never had a Bible. Wow. And so now you want me to be the, she said, yes, spiritual leader. Yeah, I hear you. I get that. In theory, that works. But I didn't see it at home. I don't know how to do it. And she said, Bob, just sit there and read 5 or 6 verses and we talk about it from a modern translation of the Bible. Mm-hmm. You know, I got you that J.B. Phillips and then I got you that Good News Bible. And you have to be my age to remember the Good News Bible with the stick people in it. There's no way you could remember that. And
now we've got like a gazillion translations.
Yeah, oh, yeah, it's great. I love it right now. It's exciting. And just read it with the children so it's part of our DNA and try to find one nugget, just one little nugget. So we reached a point, we just started with the Gospel of John, but then continued that. Mm-hmm. Mom, you can do this. I know you didn't grow up in a Christian home and you're listening saying, I have no clue how to do this. You can do this because this is important to do. This is what made my children incredibly close to their mom. And this is what made my children go back to mom continually for answers. This is what made, you know, Tori sit with mom after a date in high school. This is what made Roby sit with mom after a date in high school and just kind of download because they had this deep spiritual relationship with each other. And they knew she was praying for him on a date.
I remember my mom always telling me about how she went through this sort of a storybook Bible when she was a child several times. And we didn't do it in our house. We did, I think, our daily bread devotionals or something like that when I was growing up. But later on then, she found the book, the very same book that she used. So I used that for a couple of years with my stepkids, really going through it. So it's sort of a children's Bible storybook, but going through the stories.
It's chronological.
Right. Yeah. It's chronological, but then taking the lessons out. How would you feel if you were Moses and you saw this burning bush, crazy things? What happens when you see something weird? You know, do you run away? You know, what if, you know, how about at church when people do something and maybe it looks a little strange?
How do you think Joseph felt when his brothers were so mean to him? Did you think he felt like, where are you, God? And these horrible things happened. I mean, they're more horrible than will ever happen to us, but that happens in families. And the real important thing is when we finish this, reading these things, we're going to see Joseph forgave him.
Right.
Completely. Those are the lessons for life. And those are the lessons that leaders need to go out with. And if I'm raising a leader, leaders know why, and then they can know what. Leaders have to know why. Why am I here? Why am I dealing with this? And once I realize, okay, God knows what I'm dealing with. And if all things work together for good, how many times did I come back to my children when somebody hurt their feelings or somebody didn't win something or somebody didn't get to be a cheerleader or whatever it is? And we know Romans 8:28. I know, I don't want to hear it. Okay, I know. And I got to tell you, Tori, when people come back at me with that verse, I don't like it either. I love giving it out to people when they need it. I hate when they come back at me. But it is a reality, and that's why it's on my wall. And we know that God causes all things to work together for good for those who love God and are called according to his purpose. And the all things are the all things, the difficult times. I studied so hard for that test. I know, but all things work together for good. They caught you off guard. I know that friend that you thought was a friend said that horrible thing about you. Let's talk about how to deal with it. And let's talk about maybe why. Why would God permit that? We can't have those discussions till we've built the foundation. Daycare is not going to build the foundation. I don't care where it is, at what awesome, incredible church. Daycare doesn't have the time to do those personal, in-depth things with a child. And so in this whole package of helping my child academically, helping my child behaviorally, helping my child socially, the core that glues it all together is helping my child spiritually. That glues everything, and everything makes sense after that. That's the why. Mom's going to do better than anybody. And I think that can end up being the most missing element in all of it.
I have a few questions then, since we've been talking this this whole week about the impact of daycare on our children. There are a couple of questions we got from a listener online, Melissa.
Melissa, who is actually a professional in our community. I love Melissa and has taken in more foster kids than I can imagine, actually suggested the topic.
Okay.
And then had some questions. And these questions, I don't have all the answers to. It's going to be fun.
So is there ever a good age for daycare as a trainer in socializing?
Yeah. And I think we always wonder, I want my children to have socialization skills. Is there a good age? When should we launch that? And again, I think that the best age, I personally think, is kindergarten. I think church is where they get socialization skills. I think play dates. Melissa's children and Tori's children actually play together. I think church. I think at 4 years old, I had Roby in city soccer. Mm-hmm. And everybody was horrified that I put him in the city soccer league. No, we're out there now. Let's go at four. And yes, at four, he was picking clover. He'd be back there and the ball would roll right by him because he's following some dandelion.
But he was out there.
He was out there and he slowly got it. If I could avoid it, I'm not thinking the myth that that's socialization. There's so many other opportunities for that. Play dates, church, sports.
And different kids react differently to a daycare or a kindergarten school environment. I mean, some kids.
And this may be overly protective to some degree, but play dates, mom was there to see what's really going on so we can talk about it later on. Soccer, when things took place in soccer, when he got his clock cleaned at five, I mean, lofted because he wasn't paying attention and crying and crying and crying. I wanted to process what happened there. Mm-hmm. You weren't paying attention. I like the download. I like to take the time. So I don't think that if that's the reason for socialization skills, can this train them in socialization skills? There's just too many other better opportunities, I believe.
Mm-hmm. Another question is, how about if they misbehave at the school? How do you deal with the discipline issues with the behaviors that they're coming home with also?
Well, I'm going to plug that into Tori misbehaving in the church nursery.
Okay.
Tori was a biter. She says it wasn't her. It was somebody else that was the biter. When Tori listened to this, I'm going to pay a price for this. She says it was Jessica. I believe it was Tori that did the biting. And we had to come back and establish the fact that that's unacceptable. And we had to have a consequence for that every time she did the biting. Again, let me say, when your child is in daycare all day, it's exhausting. And when your child's in daycare all day, it can get to be survival of the fittest. And these people are mean to me. When your child is in the church nursery for an hour and a half during the service or whatever it is, it's a little different. And you can have that one-on-one. Mm-hmm. But I am going to meet with the people in daycare. If I had a child in daycare, what happened? Let's talk about it. I want to help you. I want to come alongside you in this. And you got to make the most of it. You do have to deal with whatever behavior took place in there.
Mm-hmm. And last question, because we don't have too much time, but how do you make the most of the limited quality time you have then with your child if you do have to put them in daycare?
If your child is in daycare, decide that your house isn't going to be beautiful and the meals aren't going to be gourmet. And decide when you pick up the child and pull in, this is mommy time. And you have to pull dad into the formula. Dad just can't come home and have other things to do. I didn't play golf back then, and I didn't serve on any boards at church back then. She needed me all hands on deck. These are the times when we have to decide this is our priority. Mm-hmm. This is the number one. This is my Jerusalem before I do Judea, Samaria, and the uttermost parts of the world. This is the assignment that God will hold me accountable for. And as a dad, and I think this is very important for today's dad, I am responsible to love my wife as much as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her. He left heaven for his bride. And not only did he leave heaven in the management of all things, I mean, he's the one who spoke the world into existence. He left that management to be on planet Earth and then died for his bride. End of the day here, I think I needed to be constantly reminded why I'm coming home. Rosemary put a picture of Tori on the visor, and I was driving west into the sun, and I'd put it down, and there was Tori's picture reminding me, this is why you're coming home. Helping me, Bob, coming alongside of me. Can you give me a moment? I haven't even had a bath yet today. And I had to have realistic expectations as a dad rather than scan the house and look at it and think, what did you do today? I had to have realistic expectations that not house beautiful, not gourmet meal. We're here. We're raising the next generation. We're raising the ones we will hand it all off to. How can I help today? Whether your child's in daycare or not in daycare, there's this myth of, well, we had that moment together. No, find it all. Do everything you can. Some days you may even just feed them and eat late yourselves. Spend the time with your child. You will never regret it later on in life.
You've been listening to Parenting Today with Dr. Bob Barnes from Sheridan House Family Ministries. I'm your host, Ruthie J. And if you enjoyed this program and you want to share it with a friend, you can find it online at parentingtoday.org or connect on Facebook, on Twitter. You can even podcast it and read the daily corresponding blog. That's all on one site, parentingtoday.org. And if you want more on Sheridan House Family Ministry, the home of Parenting Today, if you'd like to support the ministry financially and even find more resources, that's all online at shfm.org. That's short for Sheridan House Family Ministries. And we hope you'll join us again next week for another topic here on Parenting Today.